Welcome to the initial Baylor Lariat podcast. You're on air with Will Parchman, the sports editor, and our two sports writers, Justin Baer and Brian Payton.
I'm pretty sure this is the biggest event since Baylor was founded, way back in 1845? I mean, this is pretty monumental for Baylor University.
I mean, that's right. I don't think that our fans have ever been so lucky as to hear...
three studs on the podcast,
right. Podcast. This kind of inside analysis, it's a dime a dozen, really.
It is. All right, first off, I mean, tough weekend in Baylor Athletics. I mean, women's basketball comes away with a huge, huge win up at Kansas State against a great team, but we lose Jasmine Player. And then also down in Austin, once again, our Bears, you know, lose a big lead and end up losing a huge conference game and put us back up for a tough week. Will, you know, you covered the game. What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, I live in Austin, having known a few Austinites. That's a tough place to play. I think that gets overrated. The fact that the Frank Irwin Center packs them in. The Ozone, as they call the fan base, they're pretty loud. They like to fill it up in there. But it should not be overestimated how hard it is to win on the road in the Big 12. I think that... especially in a conference like the Big 12 is so up and down. We saw Kansas lose. We saw to Kansas State, and then we saw Kansas State turn around and lose to Missouri. So I think that more than anything, we just kind of need to be cognizant of the fact that, I mean, yeah, they lost on the road, but I think that Oklahoma loss is going to end up hurting us a lot more, kind of just because, you know, it's at home. That's a team you probably should beat. Texas, you kind of probably should expect to walk out of there with a loss, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, going back to Oklahoma loss, you know, I think a lot of that goes back to Blake Griffin, you know, his unexpected return, and that kind of a miracle, you know, obviously the freshman, you know, prepare for it, and then, you know, we've, you know, obviously we have, you know, stronger guards than our big man down low, so, you know, his presence down there really hurt us. I thought we did a decent job, you know, defending Blake Griffin. But, I mean, you know, for what we, you know, knew. But, I mean, obviously, he was the game changer. And then going back to the Texas game, I don't know, you know, every time we have a big lead, I'm kind of hesitant because it seems like we don't know how to play with the lead yet. You know, we're up by 14, Gerald's going down there, jacking up threes, you know, with 25 seconds on the shot clock. You know, it's something that, you know, I don't know, I'm not really too fond of. You know, I kind of wish they'd manage the game better. Maybe get the ball inside to Rodgers, who's, you know, doing pretty well right now. I think Rodgers also needs to work on getting to the line. He is one of our top free throw shooters. This little fadeaway action he's got just coming inside the 3-point line, and I'm obviously not a fan of. And then, you know, Lomers and Gian.
Lomers.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Lomers. But yeah, you know what offensive production they have, it kind of hinders Baylor a little bit, but. You know, this upcoming week, it should be pretty interesting. We got Texas Tech coming in tomorrow, you know, a Bob Knightless Texas Tech. And then, you know, big game against Kansas, which I would be shocked to see us, you know, contend with them at all. Just, you know, the athletic ability that they have and what Bill Self has done up there.
Now, Justin, you mentioned shot selection. And Drew talked a lot about this in his postgame. And, Brian, I want to get your thoughts on this. I know you were at the game, and what were some of your impressions? Because it did seem like the team would kind of go down the court later in the game. They get kind of comfortable with this lead, get a little cocky, and start jacking up threes. Because, I mean, Gerald hit his first maybe two, three three-pointers, and then it just went bone dry for him, and he never stopped shooting them.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing was just the fact that we didn't really get to the line much at all. First half, you know, we're getting inside and getting some shots there, and just couldn't ever think from outside too. But that was the big thing, just not getting to the free throw line. Where we're saying, you know, I still think we're number one in the Big 12 shooting free throws, and we're only getting like two or three a game now. And I think the other biggest thing that really caused the problem was Curtis Gerald's got, I believe, maybe 0 or 2 points in the whole second half, and when you shut him down, then that really makes Tweedy Carter have to step up, and he was stone cold, as he has been for the past couple weeks. And just once again, Kevin Rogers, you know, getting in there and doing some stuff, but when you take the ball out of CJ's hands, you take a lot of the experience out of Baylor. and you turn it over to people like Lacerdis Dunn, who was he played great, but you know he's still a freshman and throwing some balls around, even though he didn't make Sports Center on one of them. But
well, I mean, I think a lot of that not getting the line did have to do some with the refs. I know, you know, being a Baylor fan, kind of you know biased, but refs could have done a little bit better job. But once again, it all goes back to the shot selection. You know, when you're just jacking up threes, you know, with ten, you know, when you've only burned 10 seconds off the shot clock, and then you know not using any of your inside game, it's gonna be hard to get to the line. And I think that's what really killed us. And hopefully, Drew goes, you know, talks with the player about that.
I feel like we can talk all we want about the lack of production from some of the guys. I mean, Tweedy Carter's been a great floor general. He's not been getting it done on the scoring end. We can talk about Lace, who's kind of had a few down games here in the scoring department. I mean, he's looked good, but nothing like he looked, say, against Brown earlier this year when he was 7-for-8 for 3-point line. But what I don't think can be understated is the impact that Kevin Rogers has had on the low post. And I think we all knew before the season that he was going to be huge, that his impact, what he was going to do down low, is kind of going to dictate the way the Bears went in the post. But I think, especially now that you're seeing Mamadou and Lomers be almost completely ineffective offensively in the post. Now, Mamadou did have a nice game, had 9 points against Texas, but for the most part, I mean, he's averaging, I think, 2.5 points per game,
yeah,
and Lomers is around that same average. So I don't think when you're getting that kind of production from your seven-footers that you can really rely on them on inlet passes and getting them the ball. So I think from that respect, I think you really can't talk enough about what Kevin Rogers has been able to do.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we talk all the time here, you know, how if we had, you know, a big 7-foot guy, somebody big inside, you know, this Baylor basketball team, you know, it's a legitimate contender for a Final Four. I mean, you know, some of the best guards, you know, in the conference, you know, even maybe in the country, you know, we're missing that, you know, offensive weapon down low that could really help us. So, you know, we have to turn to Kevin Rogers, what, 6'9", 6'10", I believe. He's not as thick and strong as, you know, we'd like, but he has some pretty good moves down low, and he's, you know, when he decides to actually go and, you know, go straight to the basket, he, you know, you see he's done some pretty good things. You know, it's just when he gets out there by the 3-point line, you know, try to jack it up threes like we saw in the Oklahoma game.
A little scary.
Yeah, and, you know, you always, anytime he gets the ball out outside the 3-point line, you always hear the fans screaming no, 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 and then when he airballs, you know, shots like he did against Oklahoma, you see why we scream that. I guess, you know, moving on to women's basketball, Kim Mulkey's team done, you know, exceeded expectations.
Can't say enough about Mulkey.
I mean,
can't say enough.
I mean, right now the number 5 in the country, you know, undefeated in conference play, first time in Baylor history that they the girls have done that. So pretty awesome what they got going on. Pretty, you know, for this weekend, like everything was, you know, rolling to all cylinders. You know, it seems like they're unstoppable. And then in Saturday's game, they do come out with a win, but they lose Jasmine Player for the year with a torn ACL. Brian, what do you think the implications of that are?
It's tough to always lose them like that, especially since they don't have Darren anymore on the team after what happened last semester. And it's just, they're just going to have some major problems with depth, and that's going to be an issue going later on in when they get to the playoffs and everything. And it's going to be tough, but the one good thing is that at least they have Melissa Jones who can step in and work there as a freshman out of Colorado.
Yeah, I will tell you this. I saw probably more women's basketball games last year than I would have if I hadn't been covering the game, the team. And for the most part, what I saw from Jasmine Player was she is, excuse the expression, a spark plug. And there is no getting around the fact that other than Latara Darrett last year, I thought that she, running the floor, with all due respect to Angela Tisdale, I did think that she was the most athletic player on the court. I thought she was the fastest, again, aside from Latara Darrett, which is, again, super unfortunate that we now have lost both of those players. but she was quick. She gets into the paint faster than anybody on our team. And she can shoot. I mean, she can step out on the wing and hit that open shot, which I thought, aside from Bernice Mosby last year, were lacking. Again, this year, without Mosby, again, not necessarily that intermediate guard player that's, you know, not a freshman that can step up and do that, aside from Angela Tisdale. So again, I think that now that you're seeing that we don't, I mean, the team does not have Derrett to fill it up outside and then go inside, and now no more player. That's, I mean, it kills depth. And now what, 9 players on the roster?
Yeah, 9 players on the roster. There's only 7, you know, making an impact. But what I do like about Melissa Jones is, Kim Mulkey said this before, she mimics, you know, players' playing style. I mean, I'm covering her, you know, covering the Lady Bears, so obviously I get to see a lot of her. I really like what she brings to the table. You know, she's hustling, you know, offensive rebounder. I mean, she's you know, pretty strong player. You know, 2007 Colorado Gatorade Player of the Year. You know, she can, you know, she has pretty good shot. I like what she does with the ball. Obviously, she's not athletic as player, but I think, you know, the drop-off between player and Jones won't be as steep as people think.
It's negligible.
Yeah. But I think the bigger thing is the depth, and now we're working with a 7-player rotation, which is manageable. I mean, my senior year of high school, my girls' team won the state championship on 6-player rotation, which is pretty impressive. And I think if anybody can lead a team with 7-player rotation to a Final Four or to an Elite Eight, I think Kim Mulkey can do it.
I think, if anything, you kind of have to trust Mulkey in this respect, and that, I mean, the fact that she's gotten it done this far with a 10-person rotation, and again, 8 or 7 of which have been getting most of the minutes, I think that if she's already done this, I mean, you kind of have to respect that and give her the benefit of the doubt. I mean, just what the Lady Bears have been able to do so far has been pretty incredible. But for now, that's the end of our basketball segment. We're going to take a break for our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment.